Morning, church. It's been a while. I think the last time I preached, I had about 2 kids. Now I got 4. It's been a long time. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Revelle. By the grace of God, I've been a disciple of Jesus for 15 years. I'm part of the Married and Young Family Ministry. I've been married for 7 years to my awesome wife, Carrie Revelle. We have 4 kids. Who's counting anymore? I don't know. Caleb, the oldest, is 5 years old. And then you have Naomi, who's turning 4 next month. And then you have Priscilla, who is 2 years old. And the latest and greatest, the baby David, who is 4 months old. I am blessed. God has been good to me. So today I want to talk about the theme for the month, which is keeping heaven in sight. So the title Keeping Heaven is Keeping Heaven in Sight. Hopefully by the end of this message, you will have some idea of what it means to keep heaven in sight and how to keep heaven in sight. As disciples, we believe that heaven is a place where God and his angels live and a place where God's people go after death. As disciples of Christ, we believe that a person can get to heaven by repenting of their sins and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Once they are baptized and continue to remain in Christ and continue to fight the good fight of faith and walk in the light, then when they die, they will be resurrected and go with Jesus to heaven on Judgment Day. Again, the title of my message is Keeping Heaven in Sight. When I think about keeping something in sight, I think about the times that I'm with my 3 oldest kids in public places. I remember us being in the water park in Prospect Park. And as they are running around, my head is on a swivel looking for where my kids are at all times. They're running all over the place. I'm like, all right, there's Caleb. All right, where's Naomi? There's Naomi. All right, there's Priscilla. And then you go back. There's Caleb. There's Naomi. Then you go back. It's nonstop. It's nonstop. But I do it because I want to keep my kids safe. I do it because they are precious to me. And it's important to me. And the thought of losing them, I can't even think about it. You know, I get too emotional about it. And so it's very important that we keep heaven in sight. Just like we will keep our kids in sight. Wow, this is not responding. What is going on today? Let me give my message. Hold on. All right, old school. Besides the phone, you know, we don't have a Bible. So, when I'm watching my kids, I was focused. Nothing else around me was able to distract me from my goal of keeping my kids in sight. They were my top priority, and nothing else mattered in the moment. They are precious to me, and I can't even bear with the thoughts of losing them. That's how we need to be when it comes to keeping heaven in sight. Are you focused on heaven? Is it your top priority? Is heaven so valuable to you that the thought of losing it is unbearable? In order to keep heaven in sight, you need to see heaven. It needs to be in your sight. My first point, that you need to ask yourself is, do I see heaven? Do I see heaven? As disciples of Jesus, how do you see heaven? Well, one, you see it through the Bible. The Bible tells you what heaven is like. You can't see heaven without knowing what the Bible says about heaven. You see it with faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. We have to be sure of heaven. We have to truly believe it exists without actually seeing it physically with our human eyes. It takes faith. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. When do you hear the message? You hear the message when you come to church. You hear the message when you go to Bible talk, when you go to devotionals and discipling times. That's when you can hear the message and build your faith. And yes, you can hear the message by yourself through your own Bible study. But God still commands us to be devoted to the fellowship in Acts 2. He commands us in Hebrews 3, verse 12 to 13, to see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but to encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. God calls us to see to it that our brothers and sisters do not have a sinful and unbelieving heart, and for us to encourage one another daily. This builds our faith. Sometimes we need to help our brothers and sisters to keep heaven in sight. Sometimes we are going to need help from our brothers and sisters to keep heaven in sight. Amen? You need to see heaven in your heart and mind. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The key word in this passage for me is set. You have to set your table to eat. Another word for set is prepare. You have to prepare your mind to focus on things above. You have to prepare your heart for heaven. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 20 to 21, just write it down, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't spend each day focusing on storing up treasures for yourself on earth, where thieves can steal and can be destroyed. Spend each day storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You have set your heart and mind on heaven like you set your alarm. Have you set your heart and mind on heaven like you set your alarm? You set your alarm not to be late for work or school. If you're not a morning person like me, you need an alarm clock. And you make sure it's set. I have 5 alarm clocks. My wife and my 4 kids. They wake me up every morning. But you could get away with being late for school and being late for work sometimes. But when it comes to the second coming of Jesus, you can't be late. You have to be ready. You have to be alert. You have to be waiting. Remember the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish ones took lamps without any extra oil. The wise ones took lamps and took their lamps and a jar of extra oil with them. They were all waiting for Jesus to come. He took a long time and they all fell asleep. And when Jesus finally came, they all woke up. Their lamps were burnt out. The wise ones refilled their lamps and were able to go meet Jesus. The foolish ones tried to ask the wise ones for their oil. The The wise one said, no, I can't give you my oil because we won't have enough. I won't make it. You need to get your own oil. And they went to go back to buy oil. And by the time they finished buying oil for their lamp, it was already too late. Jesus had left. The wise virgins got to go with Jesus because they were prepared. They set their heart and mind on things above. You see heaven through the Bible. So you have to constantly be in your word. You see heaven through faith, which is built up through being in the word, hearing the message, and being devoted to the fellowship. You see heaven by setting your heart and minds on things above. You need to prepare yourself every day spiritually to see heaven. Amen? So, whenever you make a statement or you say a statement, you always have to ask why. A lot of people ask why. My kids always asking why. Daddy, why you gotta go to sleep? Why? Daddy, kid, you gotta eat. Why? Like, everything is why with my kids, which is not a bad thing. But when it comes to heaven, you gotta ask yourself why. My second point is we should keep heaven in sight because heaven is awesome. Heaven is awesome. It makes me think about the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool as can be. It's a great, awesome movie. But heaven is awesome. And I'm going to go through a couple of things. It's so much things in the Bible about heaven. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm not the heaven expert, but, you know, I'm going to do my best to pick up the things that has helped me to focus on heaven. So one thing why it's important to keep heaven in sight, because heaven gives you hope. Heaven gives you hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 to 33, just write it down. In this passage, Paul talks about how without the hope of the resurrection, our faith is useless. If there's no hope of something greater to look forward to, then you should do what you want. But if there's something better, then let that motivate you to persevere, to not give up, to hold on. I know some of us go through some very intense times. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you that things will get better if you remain faithful to Jesus. We have something to look forward to. Without hope, what's the point? Without the thought of things will get better someday, what is the point? And you need to hold on because things will get better. Heaven gives us hope. It's a sad thing to see a person without hope. I feel for people that are not right with God. What hope do they have? How will things get better for them? It doesn't. As a disciple, you could suffer your whole life. Your whole life could be suffering. But the one thing you will have to hold on to is that I'm going to be with God one day. And you need to hold on. Second thing, you could be with God. You see God. You can talk to God. Revelation 7, Revelation 21. What will you say to God? What will you ask God? I think I'll ask him, God, I got a question. What happened to the dinosaurs? I want to know what happened to the dinosaurs. Or I said, God, you know what I want? I want to see the parting of the Red Sea. Let's go to God DVD or God Netflix. Put in the red parting of the Red Sea for me. I want to ask God some crazy questions. But you get to talk to God. You get to see God. You get to be immortal. We see all these movies about the immortals and the gods and all these different things, but you actually can live forever. If I wish I had a pen and I could show you, if I had a pen, would you be able to see it? Not much. You know the pens you sew with. You can't see it that much. But that is your life compared to eternity. But we focus all our energy and time on that little pin instead of focusing all our energy and time on eternity. Our life on earth is nothing compared to eternity. It's nothing. I want to see heaven. I want to go to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. We're going to read that. Let's go to Revelation 20. We don't talk about hell enough. Jesus talked about hell a lot. Revelation 20, verse 10 to 15. It says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was sitting on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what had been done, and it was recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is real. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to let the scriptures speak for themselves with that. What else is heaven like? What does heaven look like? Here's more why we should keep heaven in sight. In John 14, verse 2 to 4, you can just write it down. Jesus said he has prepared many rooms. He has prepared a place for you. For those who are in Christ, Jesus has prepared a place for you. You are going to a room that was prepared by Jesus. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you like and what you don't like. Your room is going to be awesome. You know what else is good? Jesus was a carpenter. He builds things. He was a carpenter. Not only is he Jesus, God knows you, he's a carpenter. Our room is going to be awesome. I can't wait. You know when you go to the hotels, I remember going on my honeymoon, and they leave these little gifts for you in the room and stuff like that, and it's just awesome. You're like, wow, you feel all special. You know, like it's especially for you, and it is for you, but it's just special. You just feel great, better than if it was no gift there. And Jesus will leave a gift for you in your room. a special gift for you to make you feel special. That's awesome. Another thing that's awesome about heaven, in Revelation 7, verse 16, he says, when we in heaven, there's no more hunger. Can you imagine not feeling hunger anymore? Jesus says in Matthew 8, verse 11, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to be eating with Abraham and Moses and Elijah and all the great heroes of the faith. And the food will be amazing. Imagine your best dish. Think about it right now. Your favorite dish in the world, and you can't get enough of it. It's all in heaven. You're going to eat good in heaven. We're going to eat good in heaven, amen? I can't wait. Revelation 21, verse 4 to 8, it talks about no more suffering, no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more physical pain, no more emotional pain. Sometimes the emotional pain is worse than the physical pain. There's no more emotional pain in heaven, no more depression, anxiety, fear. No more of that in heaven. No more mourning. You ever mourn for someone? I remember mourning for my grandmother and she was gone. I remember mourning for her. And these bad, intense feelings that were didn't feel good. Another time there was most recent time of mourning was after the election. It felt like somebody died. It was a lot of mourning after that day after. I'm just saying. I'm just being real. It was a lot. It was people crying. I was like, there's no more mourning in heaven. No more emotional pain. No more fear of death. A lot of people are afraid to die. Everybody want to go to heaven, but no one want to die. I want to go in my sleep. Let me sleep and wake up and God, heaven. That's what I want. Peaceful death. No more death. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. Just for all people that are suffering right now. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Keep heaven in sight. I know it's hard when you're suffering and pain is going on. But that's when you really got to keep heaven in sight. You know, when you a lot of athletes, when you're performing and doing something, and it says no pain, no gain. You know, we got that slogan. And the only thing that's holding them is that goal of finishing, of achieving victory. So they endure the pain. In the same way as disciples, we need to endure the pain and suffering. We cannot get away from pain, y'all. As much as we want to try, as much as we avoid it, part of being a disciple of Jesus is feeling pain. physical, mental, emotional pain. That is life. As long as we're here, you're going to feel pain. And part of it is just dealing with it. God, when God was talking to the churches in Revelation, he says, I know you're going to suffer. He says, I know you're going to suffer. You got to endure. Like, it was just crazy. Like, they were dying. They were suffering. They were being tortured. You got to endure. Because you will receive a crown. I know. It hurts. You have to endure. And I was convicted. It's sometimes moments you just like, oh, you just want to, it's overwhelming. And you got to keep heaven in sight. You got to keep heaven in sight. Pain is real. But it's momentary. It's light compared to the greatness of heaven. It's light. Endure. Ask God to give you strength and give you faith. And you will endure. And you will be victorious. Hold on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 to 54, it talks about God, during the resurrection, giving us new bodies. Now, this hits home for me now. I'm 39 years old. I know I don't look it. I mean, my hairline is going farther back and back. And I'm going through a mid-30 level life crisis. I'm getting old. And I remember just recently how it just really hit home for me. I was talking to this brother. And I was saying, yo, I feel aches and pains. I was telling him, I just wake up and my body is hurting and I ain't do anything. What is that? Why am I limping right now and I ain't do any type of physical activity? Yo, it's sobering. And I think I'm a good athlete, you know. I play a little basketball and football. I'm a phys ed teacher. I'm very active. But then when you wake up and you do nothing, and you're hurting, your body is hurting, what is that? So I'm talking to the brother. And he's saying, you know what? I felt getting old when I was in my 30s. He said, then you feel it again. It's another level in your 40s. Then you say, there's another level in your 50s. And then he said, there's another level in your 60s. And I was like, home, I'm like, dang. This brother is old. So as I was telling Herb Cruz, as me and Herb Cruz was talking, he made me feel a little better about myself. Because Herb is old. I told you I was going to get you, man. Call him Old Brother Herb. But yo, when we're resurrected, we get new bodies. And your body is going to be special to you. Like you have your own personalized, revised, improvised, special, awesome, powerful body. No more pains and aches. No more. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. In heaven, there's no more stress. Have you ever felt stressed? Know what stresses me out? Bills. Bills stress me out so much, I try to act like they not there. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. It did not come in the mail. It's painful opening up an envelope. And then having, and you, ah! There's no more bills in heaven. Hallelujah, amen? Hallelujah. I mean, as a family leader, as I lead my family, and there's this pressure to provide, you know, I gotta take care of my family, I gotta provide, I gotta pay for the bills, and it's pressure, and it's stress. But when you get to heaven, you don't have to provide, because God provides. You don't have to worry about, I have to do this, I have to wake up. No, you can't even enjoy your vacation because you know you got to go back to work to provide. In heaven, you feel safe. You know how many people pay so much money for their kids to feel safe? For them to know that their kids are safe, they pay millions. I mean, you know, after this election, I didn't feel safe. I'm just being honest. But in heaven, you feel safe. You're safe at home. With God, no fear of enemies, no fear of this or that. You're safe, peace of mind. When is the last time you had peace of mind? I mean, my kids, they go to school in the city. They travel to the city every day. And I have to rely on God to protect my kids. Because I can't be with them each and every day. I can't be with them every hour as much as I want. No, I don't want to every hour. I mean, I need peace of mind sometimes, you know. Okay. But I want my kids to be safe. And it's a peace of mind then when you know your kids are safe. God is the same way. When he knows you're with them, he has a peace of mind that you're safe. Because he will protect you. You just got to believe it. You just got to believe it. And when you're home, it's like when my kids get home from school and I see them and they're home and they're safe, it's an awesome feeling. It warms my heart. When you make it to heaven and God sees your face, it's going to warm his heart. He's just going to feel all tingly inside just seeing you there. You made it. You're safe. Heaven is awesome. Matthew 22, verse 30, it says we're going to be like the angels. When we resurrected, our bodies will be like the angels. I don't know about you, but angels are powerful. They do a lot of great things. I want to be an angel. I want to be like an angel. It's like they're superheroes. Can you imagine being a superhero? I want to be a superhero. Angels are superheroes. You be a superhero. You have power. You see God. We're going to be like angels. And then in heaven, you have rest. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow." Hebrews 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." So on the seventh day, God rested from creating the earth. And it says in the same way, when we make it to heaven, we get to finally rest. Have you ever had that good, restful sleep? It feels so good. Who likes rest? We all like rest, right? We all like to sleep and rest for the most part. Rest is a beautiful thing. But unfortunately for me, rest can be a very rare thing in the Revelle household, especially for adults. Rest could be a very rare thing in the Revelle household. I mean, I think after working all week and my mom's like, "Oh, I get to finally sleep a little late in on a Saturday." In my mind, this is what I'm playing. And then I hear my kids waking up, and I get discouraged. Because I know they're going to come into the room and try to wake me up. "Daddy, Daddy, it's morning time. It's time to wake up." So I have to play like I'm dead. "Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy." So my son would give up. My little girl would give up. But my daughter, Naomi, she will not stop. "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" Oh, God. "Daddy!" She is persistent. And then, it's one thing to have your kids wake you up. It's another thing to have your wife wake you up. So I'm thinking I got rid of the kids. Maybe Naomi was busy somewhere and the other kids left. I'm like, "God, got an extra couple of hours." And then my wife comes in. Doom, doom, doom. And then I'm looking to see if it's a kid, but I know it's my wife. And then you can see this face, she gets like a confused face, like I know he's not still sleeping right now. It's like stuff is in her face, like she's confused. And then she says her favorite line, "Dude, you act like you don't got four kids." And And then she throws my baby son on me. And I feel drool on my face. I open the eye and he's smiling in my face. And I gotta wake up. Rest is a rare thing in my household for adults. But in heaven, woo, can't wait. You can sleep all you want. Sleep. You wake up, Jesus like, lay back down. I don't think you got enough rest. Rest, Steve. Take as much time as you want. You got eternity. Can't wait. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. You will have rest in heaven. You will have rest in heaven. So that's just a little snippet of what heaven is really like. Whatever you can imagine what heaven is like, I believe it's going to be a thousand times more better than what you think. Third point, closing. Am I keeping heaven in sight? That's what you need to ask yourself. Am I keeping heaven in sight? How do you lose sight of heaven? Do you lose sight of heaven by focusing too much on the things of this world? Luke 8, verse 14 says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, the riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. John 12, verse 25 says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Philippians 3, verse 18 to 21, for as I have often told you before, and now I tell you, even with tears, Paul says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds is set on earthly things. The things of this world will pass away. We cannot focus all our energy and getting treasure that's on earth. It has to be spiritual. This is all going to pass away. In Matthew 5, verse 20, Jesus says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees were religious political leaders of Israel in the first century. They were known to strictly follow the traditional and written laws of Moses. They thought that they could earn heaven by following these rules, by following the laws to a T. And they made even more laws on top of the real laws that they was following. And the more they followed these laws, the more they got self-righteous and prideful and thought they earned to be in heaven. And they were known for self-righteousness and pride. What would a Pharisee look like today? I know for me, I can struggle being a Pharisee. In my unspiritual mind, I can feel like I'm more spiritual than someone else because they struggle with a certain type of sin that I don't struggle with. Maybe I'm struggling with patience and they struggle with sexual immorality. Does that make me better? No, it does not. But I could struggle with that. Oh, well, at least it's not sexual immorality. What is that? What is that? I can't base my righteousness by comparing myself to other people. I need to compare myself to Jesus. I mean, Jesus was angry with self-righteous Pharisees. He says, you hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of a cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Can you imagine you go into somebody's house and they take, you ask for a drink and they take a cup out and they wash the inside, but on the inside, they wash the outside, but the inside is dirty, and they say, here you go. What is that? Just because the outside look clean, it makes it all right to give me the cup with that dirtiness inside? That's how God sees self-righteous people. That's how God sees who care more about what people think about them as opposed to what he thinks about them. Jesus said, do not kill. But Jesus said, don't not kill. You need to deal with your anger. Jesus said, do not be sexually immoral. Jesus said, not just not be sexually immoral, you need to deal with your lust. Do not retaliate, no eye for an eye. Jesus, you not just not need to retaliate. You need to forgive from your heart. See, God is not just about the outside. It's about the inside you got to deal with as well. Are you working on the inside? Inside out, not outside in. You could play church and not be right with God. You could be in the sitting right down and not be right with God. I could be preaching and not be right with God. You don't see what I do behind closed doors, do you? God sees. Who you fooling? We need to humble ourselves. The Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but with sober judgment. You could deceive yourself about where you really are, and you need help. I need help. I need other disciples seeing my sin and telling me about it. Like my wife. She will not hesitate. And she's telling me, and I'm like clenching my teeth. Oh, I want to retaliate, but she's right. Who is that voice speaking the words of God to you today? Who's helping you spiritually? Honestly, don't be deceived. We need help. Stay humble. Amen? I'm going to close out with a reading. Revelation 7. Revelation 7. Starting in verse 9, it says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Baptism. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Safety. Never again will they hunger. Amen. Never again will they thirst. Amen. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Heaven is going to be awesome. So, ask yourself, do you see heaven? Do I see heaven? Two, heaven is awesome. Three, am I keeping heaven in sight? Thank you. God bless. I love you all.